Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is awesome to be with you guys today. It's Thursday. It's Coach Approach. That means I get to hang out with my man, Ant. Ant, how we doing, man? The offseason is upon us.
Yeah, you know, I took like a little subtle break. It wasn't very long. And then now it's been back to it, back to daily content. And it feels like there's a nice groove. There's a nice energy surrounding 49er fans already, which is great. As you know, the 49ers are trying to build this offseason to potentially win more games than they won this year. So I think there's actually a pretty good vibe around the team, a little bit different than, you know, coming off like 2023, where I think it was really, really bad. I thought that everyone kind of took a collective breath, was like, hey, we're ahead of schedule. Now let's get back to it and make sure that what happened at the end of the season doesn't happen again. And I think that there's a lot of optimism, and I love optimism at this time of the year. And I think that there is a lot of good stuff. The Raheem Morris hire, I think, definitely helped with that as well. So very excited about the 49ers offseason and looking forward to free agent content, draft content, all the stuff. I love looking at draftable players, and a Senior Bowl already kind of got the juices flowing on that.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because you talk about like the goal is to do better than you did this season. And immediately I'm just in GM mode. And it's just like, all right, so how do you create the team of the future 2026 and beyond to not be in the position that it was in this year? You still have free agency. You still have nine draft picks. You know, a little under $50 million to spend at free agency, depending on how you want to allocate that. And, you know, there's still some cuts, restructures, things like that you could do. This offseason already feels dramatically different because you did take your lumps last year. The younger, cheaper, all that kind of stuff, all that dead money. You had $100 million dead money. Now it's down to like just over $20 million, almost all that's Javon Hargrave, but you know, you're at about a fifth of that. So that is money that you get to allocate to this team. And I want to say, and man, I almost limping into this one, Freudian slip there. No way they could be as injured as they were this year, right? Like just there's no possible way. But yet every single year, they seem to kind of surprise us. Do want to say thank you to all the hashtag CCs. Shout out to Jess. She said, my little girl is 1 week old today. How cool is that? So glad she gets to see Kittle, Warner, Purdy, and McCaffrey next season. Man, that is beautiful, Jess. Congratulations. That just makes me very, very happy. And yeah, look at Kevin right here. Coach Approach, one of the best days of the week. So here's what we're going to talk about. We're going to look at the roster. And the whole thing is Coach Approach to the offseason, right? That's what we do on Thursdays. And what are the positions of strength? What are the positions of weakness? How we think the team should address those moving forward? What does Raheem Morris bring? Positives, negatives. And what are some things we hope the 49ers kind of adapt on or change their stance on that they probably won't? Let's be honest. Shanahan's pretty stuck in his ways. But let's start off with the negative. Let's get that out of the way. In your opinion, what do you think are the one or two biggest positional weaknesses on this roster, right? Like, is it O-line, tackle, DT, DN, wide receiver, whatever else? Yesterday's show, I went through and I ranked 1 through 10, all of the different positions, and I'm just so curious to see what you think as the biggest weaknesses on this team roster-wise in its current situation.
Yeah, I think looking at the roster, it's pretty clear to see that wide receiver, I think, is the biggest weakness for the 49ers. I think that you look at the X receiver position, and they don't have one, right? I mean, Brandon Ayuk has played his last down in San Francisco, according to John Lynch, which means after that, you don't have a pure X receiver unless you want to talk about Jordan Watkins. And this is a middle round guy who really didn't show a whole lot in the opportunities that he had in preseason, didn't really have a lot of opportunities at any other point. So we don't know what kind of commodity he is. But then when you look at the rest of the wide receiver room, besides DeMarcus Robinson, who was pretty much out there every single day and playing after the suspension, you have question marks because Ricky Pearsall wasn't able to stay healthy all year. And a PCL injury, it's no joke. It's tough on a wide receiver, all that. But just because of that situation, you don't know what you have. They need to go get a legit X wide receiver. And so that means either it's a first round pick to get an X wide receiver, because that's the only way that guy's going to play for Kyle Shanahan in year one, or more likely it's going to be in free agency, which I think is probably going to be the case. And I think that there's a lot of options out there at wide receiver. If there was ever a year you needed an X wide receiver, this is one of those ones where you can find one. There's the veterans, the big names, the guys like Mike Evans, those guys are out there. There's the younger guys, you know, like Alec Pierce and some of those guys that are going on to their second contract, Romeo Doubs. I think that the 49ers are going to go strike on one of these X receivers. They need somebody that can win and stretch the field. But that is the biggest positional need for the 49ers. And that will not only help Brock Purdy, but that will open up this 49ers offense. And you saw the big difference this season when it got into the moments where they needed to win against a very good secondary. They were just choked out. And that's exactly what happened. Seattle basically put the 49ers offense in a rear naked choke and just choked them out. And they need that guy that can go stretch the field and make things more easier for the guys underneath. And I think that they'll probably find one of those guys in free agency.
Yeah. And again, you look at, you know, wide receivers, they get paid like, and I hate paying wide receivers just because it's such an inflated position, but here are your X wide receivers that are currently available or going to be available. George Pickens, Alec Pierce, Rashid Shaheed could do it. Not a true X, but could do it. Mike Evans, you know, what's that going to look like? Romeo Doubs, he's kind of my most cost-effective measure that I'd be okay starting, the cheapest option. Keenan Allen, I don't think, can stretch the field vertically anymore, but he is a true X. Marquise Brown, not really. Christian Kirk, a little bit. Golly, man. Tutu Atwell, maybe a little. Diami Brown, like that, he's probably the cheapest true X. Can't run the full route tree, not a quality wide receiver, but vertical threat, vertical threat, vertical threat. DeAndre Hopkins, 34, no. Zay Jones can, but no. Like, it's not a great free agency class. At the very top it is, but I don't know. So, like, let me ask you this. And again, the price figures into this equation. If you're John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan says, I need an X, you got to sign me an X in free agency. Who's your first call, knowing kind of where their price points are going to be? Like, what name of all those I gave out is like, this is a reasonable, rational price, could fit our offense and do the job without breaking the bank? Like, what name kind of stood out to you?
Yeah, I think it's Romeo Doubs. You know, I mean, same, he played, man, in a similar system with Matt LaFleur. He's been a guy that's been able to be kind of that 700-800-yard guy, but that's playing with a ton of wide receivers in Green Bay. Like, they rotate those guys through like crazy, but he's got the ability to win one-on-one. He runs good routes. He competes. He has good hands. I think that he could make a lot of plays for this team. And, you know, right now, Spotrac's got him making just over $13 million on the open market. That's very feasible. I think that you're putting money you would normally put into Juwan Jennings into Romeo Doubs, and I think that makes a lot of sense. So where it kind of matches production compared to salary, Romeo Doubs seems to be the one that makes the most sense. The question is going to be, is somebody else out there going to fall in love with Romeo Doubs too and kind of make this money go up? You never know if there's going to be a bidding war. But to me, he stands out, and I think he would do a really good job for the 49ers. He's consistent. We would have to get used to watching that big ugly thing on top of his helmet, because that's always very interesting when those guys wear that. But he's a good player.
My favorite was when Twitter was doing, they'd make it a little bit larger after every reception. And so, like, it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger on the, you know, and sometimes social media is a wonderful thing. And I get this question all the time. What are your thoughts on Kyle Pitts? One, he's going to cost a ridiculous amount. I don't think he truly helps you at the X position. He could be that wide receiver three in the Juwan Jennings role. Do you see the Kyle Pitts as, man, that's kind of a luxury price for a wide, you know, an offense that doesn't use a lot of three wide receiver sets? Are you going to use him as a tight end? What happens when Kittle comes back? Or is it worth it because he does bring a dynamic downfield playmaking kind of, you know, ability? What are your thoughts there just on Kyle Pitts? Because this is the most common question I get. I'm dismissive of it. And maybe that's me as a parent or whatever. Like, I dismissive is my like first, like that's just my go-to. That didn't really make too much sense. But this dude's going to be getting 11, 12 million a year. You're already paying Kittle one of the highest paid tight end. Like, what are your thoughts here on Kyle Pitts? Bringing him in? Yay, nay, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's how you evaluate him. You know, I don't think anyone believes he's going to be a he's not a real tight end, right? He's not a inline guy that's going to go block consistently. So Kyle Shanahan has to have a plan for him. I think if you're looking at him as a potential tight end to a move tight end that can also play the Juwan Jennings role, you know, in, on three receiver sets, and you're going to use him as a big body guy that can go make some plays for you, I think that that's where it gets interesting, because he could kind of be a dual role guy, one of those guys that's more positionless. And we know Kyle loves those kind of guys, but I don't know if they're going to go out there and invest, you know, that kind of money in a player like that. I think that there's a lot of guys that are going to be available in the draft that are big body guys that can also create in a Juwan Jennings mold that can make plays for you too. So I think that that would be a really fun move, because we've thought about this ever since that draft happened where he was coming out and people were like, wow, Kyle Pitts might fall to the 49ers at 11. Now, of course, we know they traded up for Trey Lance, but this marriage has been something people have talked about, especially with the way Kyle had kind of flirted around with some of the more athletic tight ends and bringing guys in back in 2020. But I don't know. I don't think that this one will really happen. I don't think Kyle's going to make that move. I think he loves his 21 personnel. He loves having Kyle Juszczyk on the field. There's not a lot of opportunities for 11 personnel, not a lot of opportunities for 12 personnel. So how much is Kyle Pitts actually going to play? I think that's always one of the big things when looking at who you're going to pay financially. So I don't think it happens, but I could envision a plan for Kyle Pitts, so I don't put it out of the question if Kyle decided all of a sudden to change it up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's a dynamic one-of-one type athlete, and his play has ascended four consecutive years in a row. Not consistent, but I would put it out there. But I'm like, dude, Jake Ton, just let him play the Kittle role. You can see what he does with Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy trusts him so much in the receiving game. Is he dynamic? Not really, but he gets the damn job done. And then go get one of those guys that can do the dirty work. Luke Farrell was a miss. Like that just wrong. It was wrong.
The big game is almost here, and there's no better way to cash in America's biggest sporting event than Prize Picks, where it's always where it always feels good to be right. And since the big game is right around the corner, that also means it's your last chance to get into football action before next season. So close the season out the right way with Prize Picks by getting $50 instantly in your lineups when you play your first $5. Dude, Prize Picks is available here in California. I downloaded the app, and I've been playing ever since. And then if you look at just building a community, with the new social feeds feature, you can share Prize Picks with your friends and copy lineups from winners with a single clip. Copy lineups that you like, use them as inspiration for your own picks. You can even follow Prize Picks partners and tell or fade other people's picks with just one click. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. We get it. February is full of flowers, candy, stuffed animals, and of course, lots of talk about relationships and dating. And no matter where you are, whether you're married, dating, single, or just focusing on you, you're right on time. Therapy can help you find your way and see more clearly where you want to be. Now, BetterHelp does the initial matchmaking work for you, so you can just focus on your therapy goals. Short questionnaire helps you identify your needs, preferences, and with over 12 and a half years of experience, an industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. Now, if you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from the tailored recommendations. And with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on 1.7 million client reviews. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. But you look at this free agent tight end class, David Njoku, Isaiah Likely, Chig Okonkwo, Kate Otten. I look at Kate Otten, I'm like, dude, that's a perfect fit. You can get him for probably $6 to $7 million a year. Dallas Goedert, doubt it. Tyler Higbee, doubt it. Noah Fant, another good fit. Foster Moreau, another good. Like, there are so many tight ends where it's like, you don't have to break the bank for them, and you can plug them into that role. Luke Farrell was a miss. I want somebody that's a complete tight end that can come in and do more of the dirty work. And Kate Otten, I don't know, man. Like, that just screams Kyle Shanahan to me. Yeah, maybe I'm crazy, but I would love him as that Luke Farrell role personally.
Oh, yeah. Well, Kate Otten was one of my draft crushes when he came out. Absolutely loved everything that he did. I thought he was a great fit for the 49ers. And he's got the ability, unlike Luke Farrell, to make a lot of plays in the passing game. I mean, Kate Otten can go out there and take over a game and make some big plays for you. Like, he's one of those guys that goes up and gets the ball in the end zone. He converts on third down. He's a complete tight end. That would be a huge move for the 49ers. You could actually start Kate Otten, and Jake Tonjes could be coming off the bench again until George Kittle got back, and then you kind of see how things play out. So that one would be huge. Another name, I'm just going to throw it out there. I know you haven't done a lot of draft work yet, but Sam Roush from Stanford, potentially drafting him in the middle rounds. Talk about a guy who blocks and the attitude of he wants to block. He was very good at Stanford, even with really bad quarterback play. He's going to be on everyone's radar. He was at the Senior Bowl, but I think that that's a name out there. Potentially the 49ers could strike on him. We know John Lynch loves him some Stanford. So I think that that is a possibility as a guy that could be drafted and kind of fit into a role that Luke Farrell has right now.
Yeah, he's got 2,000. And so we're putting out shout out to my man, NY Niners. He's the freaking man. We're going to be sharing on our Patreon our ultimate draft prep spreadsheet with like stats, snaps, ratings, whatever else. And like Sam Roush, I've not watched him yet. But 6'5", 260, unofficial numbers. He's got 2,478 snaps. Like 10 out of 10 experience level. Has played nonstop. And just kind of does a little bit of everything. All of his run game, he's got a 56.6, one of the highest. Receiving grade, 55.9, not one of the highest, but just one of those guys that does it all. He is currently projected as the 113th player overall, tight end 8. Get that dude, you know, fourth round, which the 49ers are going to have three of those bad boys. And man, I remember last year when we were doing mock drafts, like I was just screaming, like, get a tight end, get a tight end, get a tight end. They didn't. Harold Fannin was sitting there, my favorite player in the draft. Ugh. Dude, all I wanted was Jacob Parrish and Harold Fannin. I don't ask for much. Anyway, both those guys absolutely crushed it. And I would say all rookie team, both of them. Anyway. I'm going to calm down now. Sorry about that, Ant. Hey, my bad. That's my bad. So we talked about the negative position spots. You know, I had wide receiver, center, guard, and safety. Those are my four kind of red problem areas. Let's look at the other side. In your opinion, what are the position or positions that are strengths for the 49ers heading into this offseason? Not necessarily that you don't need to address, but you feel pretty confident with these position groups.
Yeah, I think quarterback, you know, I mean, when you look at Brock Purdy, Mac Jones, you know, Curtis Rourke, they are solid. They got everything you want there with your big time quarterback in Brock Purdy, a really good backup who's one of the top 32 quarterbacks in the NFL with Mac Jones. And then you've got the young up and comer, Curtis Rourke, who now went through an entire season learning Kyle Shanahan's offense, getting in a few weeks of practice down the stretch. I think that they've got a nice mixture there. Now we'll see what happens if Mac Jones ends up getting moved, and all the conversations right now with some of the trade possibilities, you know, maybe Jordan Addison with Minnesota. We've heard the Las Vegas Raiders potentially interested in Mac Jones, but they're going to draft the number one overall player in the draft and get a quarterback. So I think that there's a chance Mac Jones moves on. But looking at it right now, that is the best room. I think number two, I'm going to go with the cornerback room. I know that there's question marks about Renardo Green, and he took a step back in his sophomore season. But when you look at D'Amore Lenore, he was still really good, competed at a high level. It wasn't always perfect, but we've seen Demo now for a long time do it well. And then it's because of Upton Stout. You figured out nickel corner. This dude was absolutely legit. He's everything we thought he was going to be when he was drafted. The guy's a dog, and he's just going to get better and better and better because we saw it during the season. He made mistakes, and he fixed mistakes. And when you got guys who can do that from week to week, you know that they're going to keep ascending. So I look at that room, and I think if it stayed as is, the 49ers still have a pretty good cornerback room. Could they address maybe Renardo Green's position? Possibly. Do they need to add depth in the draft or free agency? Yes. But I do think that that's one of the stronger rooms on the 49ers roster.
You're returning your top four guys. You know, obviously Upton Stout, D'Amore Lenore, Renardo Green, Darrell Luter Jr. Like, that's great. I do struggle with the second outside corner spot. And I think that was a problem all year. Like, you know, rewatching that Seahawks game in the playoffs, they went after 53 and they went after zero. Wherever they lined up, they, like, wherever they were, especially if they were on the same side, we're running it to them. And if they're on, you know, same side coverage, that's where we're throwing the ball. And it just, yeah, it was a problem. But, you know, I broke up my positional rankings, and nickel was my second highest rated position on the team. I had quarterback, then nickel. But yeah, if you lump them together, which no problem there, I totally understand that. I would like more consistent corner play, though. The 49ers haven't developed corners really at all since Steve Wilks was here. Like, a lot of the defensive backs, safeties, corners included, best year was under Steve Wilks. Didn't happen under Sorensen. Didn't happen last year under Robert Saleh. Curious to see how Raheem Morris is going to, how that evolution is going to take place, because could really use some development on that back end. Safety, I know we haven't talked about that just yet, but anyway, that's where that is. So here we are. Now we're in a good spot. So, man, let's transition. I want to get into the Raheem Morris conversation because you did a damn good show where you talked about the versatility that he brings. And so I want to do that right after this. Everybody's betting the NFL in full do or die mode. College football down to the last teams, and the Super Bowl is just right around the corner. If there was ever a time to get involved in the game, it's now. And MyBookie makes it stupid easy to play. One account, one wallet, bet the spread, live bet the second half, hit the casino during the commercials. It's all in one place, and you've got the power. Go to mybookie.ag now and use promo code 49ers, 49ERS, and you get your first bet covered up to $500. If it doesn't hit, use your bet back bonus token, run it back. Don't just watch the playoffs. Make them pay. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, Texas, California, no matter where you are, only at MyBookie. Now, whenever I think about the 49ers defense from 2017 all the way to 2025, I think of it as the most simplistic defensive scheme in the NFL. It is vanilla as vanilla gets. Blitz packages, vanilla. Every now and then you get a little inverted, you know, Tampa 2 look, which is like gets me so excited. But it's a one-off, you know what I mean? Do you think Raheem Morris will make this not the most vanilla defensive structure of the NFL?
Yeah, I do. I think that you look at Raheem Morris's experience and what he's been able to do in the NFL, and he learned, you know, Tampa 2 from some of the best coaches in NFL history. I mean, talk about that type of experience in Tampa Bay where he first met Kyle Shanahan. I think that that gave him a basis of what he could do in the NFL with that Tampa 2. But then he went and he went with the cover three. He was with Dan Quinn and he learned how to do the cover three in Atlanta. And he's been with that. Then he took over a defense from Brendan Staley that was all about the cover four and what Vic Fangio did with that quarter style defense. So he's very adept in what the NFL does in coverages. And I think that gives some flexibility to this 49ers defense where he can run multiple looks. And I think that right now, that's what you have to do in the NFL. Running just one sort of defense, it's just not working the way offensive coordinators are able to kind of manipulate coverages, break down defensive rules. So you've got to make it more complicated for quarterbacks. And we've heard quarterbacks talk about having to go through all of their reads instead of just being able to see, oh, single high, two high, read one side of the field. You need to make them go through their progressions. And I think that that's part of it is your pre to post snap reads and how quarterbacks have to adjust is going to be a big part of it. That's why Raheem Morris defenses usually generate turnovers. And so that's what the 49ers are looking to get. They had a really good bend and break defense this year. They would hold these teams for the most part, keep them out of the end zone. That was great. But now they need turnovers. And how you do that, you confuse quarterbacks, give your defensive backs opportunities to make plays. And, of course, generating a pass rush is something you have to do. Raheem Morris knew what to do in Atlanta. He generated a great pass rush. He addressed it in the draft. And then they got after it with five-man pressure. So I do think that this secondary is going to be better because of what Raheem Morris is going to be able to do with the multiple coverages.
Man, five-man pressure is like where I want to live. Like, if I'm going to be on, like, I don't like the six overload. I don't like the seven cover zero. I not a big fan of that. And Kyle's cool with five-man pressure. But the big reason why Steve Wilks didn't work out, I mean, that was the last time the Niners had a top 10 defense, really, in any metric whatsoever. Which he had that, it just, man, he blitzed too much at critical junctures. And that drove Kyle Shanahan crazy. I don't see that whenever I watch Raheem Morris's tape. Now, what's crazy is the Falcons ran more cover three and cover four than the 49ers did last year. So even though Raheem Morris kind of got a start in that Tampa 2 scheme, and I do think Fred's one of the ideal Tampa 2 coverage guys, I don't think we're going to really see a lot of that. I think there's so much carryover between what, you know, the Falcons did and the 49ers did. Everybody gets into the 5-1-5 penny front, what that looks like, what that won't look like. Right now with the personnel in-house, you mean tell me we're taking off linebackers and we're going to add another corner? I'm totally cool with that. And the 49ers did that one play against Seattle, and you had Darrell Luter Jr. lined up with Jake Bobo on, like, third and long, and Darrell Luter Jr. got cooked on the inside on a slant route and gave up, you know, anyway. But I'm cool with that. Like, in today's NFL, you want to do a 5-1-5 look? Ooh, you mean tell me Fred Warner's the only linebacker out there? Sign me up, because the linebacker room, I do not have a lot of faith in it. I really, really, really don't.
Yeah, I think that multiple looks I have no problems with. I have no problems with the five-man looks. You know, we've seen the 49ers kind of fool around with, you know, the 4-3 over, kind of taking that strong side linebacker and bringing him up. I think that there's a lot more versatility when you look at the personnel of what Raheem Morris can do. And one thing I like about Raheem Morris, if you look at every stop that he's ever been to, is he's looked at the personnel, he's evaluated what's there, and then he kind of builds and molds his defense around the personnel that's there. So we know that he's going to come in and run the base 4-3, the wide nine. That's going to be a part of the 49ers base defense, but I think there's a lot of opportunities to run what you're talking about, a 5-1-5, to run some, you know, some nickel sub packages, but also to run some 3-4 alignment. You've got guys like Keon White and Mikel Williams that played 5 tech either in college or in the NFL. You can go with some traditional looks that are 3-4 style defense. So you've got, you know, things you can do from series to series. And you talk about messing with offensive coordinators. If one time you're in a base 4-3 with your outside wide nine, and the next time you're running a 3-4 defense, now your play calls change up a little bit. And so I do think it makes for some interesting matchups for the 49ers and for opposing offenses. And that's what I like about it too, is the way that they built this defense, it just became more multiple with the personnel they have. And I'm kind of hoping Raheem Morris takes advantage of that. I think that would be a very big thing for the 49ers. They could kind of go in and out of all these different looks.
I would love that, especially with the NFL kind of transitioning to this, you know, 13 personnel, especially our division. I mean, shoot, you saw the Cardinals and the Rams do it. The Rams did the best in the NFL. Robert Saleh had no answer. It took that dude 5 quarters to catch up. Even after, you know, the Rams blew you out, then you go play the Cardinals. The Cardinals come out in 13 personnel, still not. It took a full quarter. It wasn't until the second quarter of that Cardinals game that they actually lined up gap sound for the first time. Like, it just took too long. I don't think you're going to have that with Raheem Morris. And I still wish Robert Saleh was the hire. I still wish he was the DC. He was awesome, but it's not like he was perfect. And so there is some give and take here. And I remind everybody, Raheem Morris has spent 14 seasons coaching defense in an even front. So for people to think that this guy can't, you know, is just a 3-4 guy, you're eliminating half of the context. Like, it's just not factually correct. Yeah, if you, recency bias, cool, you could play that game. But no, and, you know, for a coach, you know, going from a 3-4 to a 4-3 is not difficult. It really, really isn't. The gaps are relatively the same. I would argue it's easier to do that than it is to go from a traditional 4-3 to a 4-3 stack. 4-3 stack's harder to coach because now you've got gap nuance and kind of your keys change a little bit and all that stuff. So anyway, I don't want to dive too much into that. Somebody's going to get mad at me. But I do hope they spice up the fronts a little bit more like you're talking about. You have the personnel. You really, really do. And again, back to the Seattle playoff game. There was one play where you had five defensive linemen out there, and Alfred Collins was the defensive end. He was in a seven. Like, so it's not like this is all brand new to it, – it's football, man. And it literally, you just tell a lineman, all right, you're a 4-eye. Okay, now you're a 5. Okay, you're a 7. Everybody in the NFL and college understands what that means. You just bump out a spot. It doesn't really change a whole lot. So, anyway, yes, we do have the personnel, I believe, to get a little weird, which is always one of my sayings. Let's get a little weird. Why not on defense? Let's just get a little weird. we'll see what that looks like. So let's get to kind of the next section, and then we'll get to some of our starred comments and super chats. Things that the 49ers won't do, but I kind of wish they would. Stoutland is now available. I would argue the best offensive line coach in the NFL. I would argue the best offensive line coach in the past two decades in the NFL. What are your thoughts on Stoutland? Should the 49ers reach out? I don't think that they will. That is the title of the segment. Talk to me about Stoutland.
Yeah, you know, it's solid as it gets, right? I mean, this is one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL. And when a guy like this becomes available, everyone is talking about, hey, you know, Kyle Shanahan should make the call. I think that when Kyle Shanahan looks at this, though, he's got Chris Furster and he has a relationship with Chris Furster. So I don't think that he makes this move. I think that it's very tempting. And, you know, the only thing I could think of that would even be a possibility if this worked, if Chris Furster moved into a different role where he correct. Was more the run game coordinator and he kind of handled some of those things with Kyle. And then you brought in Stoutland to handle the offensive line. I think that that would be a great situation. I don't know if that's something that, you know, either party would be interested in. But, you know, I think one thing that would help is if Forster went to Kyle and said, hey, this is what you need to do. I don't think he would do that. But I'm just saying, like, whenever you have a coach like this is available, man, it's really tempting. And he's been so good for so long. Look at the development of the players with the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, this one was really tough. As soon as I seen it come across, I was like, oh, that would be great. But it's probably not going to happen.
But we don't have an assistant head coach anymore. Gus Bradley's gone. And so, like, that is a position that is available. And so, like, man, just bump him up. Come on, man. Like, let's do that. So, sticking with this theme, will they finally invest in the offensive line in the draft? They haven't drafted offensive tackle in 4 consecutive drafts, haven't drafted a center in 13 consecutive drafts. If you look at just since John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan showed up in 2017 to now, out of 32 teams, they have invested 31st amount of draft capital in the offensive line. Do you think that that changes this year?
I think it probably should. You know, I thought that last year was going to be the year where they drafted a offensive tackle, played him at left guard, and then they would eventually take over Trent Williams. I think we're getting closer and closer to that. I think this could be the season. And with the 49ers sitting at 27, I think there's a really good chance you could get a guy that would make a lot of sense for your football team and kind of put him at that left guard spot and then eventually kick him out because they do have a need at left guard. They need to get somebody that's a mover. And I think that that's another part of the 49ers offense that just wasn't up to the level that we had seen, especially at his height. I think in 2023 with Christian McCaffrey running the way he was, it was great, but a lot of it was the movement inside. And you look at who was inside at the time and you had big John Feliciano and Aaron Banks. And we can say whatever we want about Banks' weaknesses when it comes to, you know, pass protection, but run blocking, that dude could absolutely get people moving. And I think the 49ers need that again. And I think that that's something they got to look at. I think Dominic Pooney will be just fine. But they need the other left guard to be somebody that could get some movement. That's why I was very high on Arianti Urcery last year, because I thought left guard, he gets movement in the run game. He's very dominant there. Eventually steps out to left tackle, take over for Trent Williams. Shoot, he started for the Houston Texans at left tackle this season. So I think that that type of move is available. And I think that there's guys in the draft that would definitely fit. It's you know, kind of pick your flavor situation, but will the 49ers actually pull the trigger? That's going to be the big question mark. I think this might be the year they need to. And what an interesting spot, 27. I'm pretty sure they got a really good player at 27 at one point in this franchise history. A guy named Joe Staley was pretty darn good for this football team.
Never heard of him. Never heard of him. No idea who that is. Nider Goat says OT from Florida looks good. If we're talking the OT from Florida, that's Austin Barber, who's rated around in the 90s. So that's somebody you could get in the third round. 6'6", 318. We'll have to see how he tests. He's a little bit heavy-footed, but he's got 2,100 snaps at left tackle and 500 snaps at right tackle. Swing guy. He could definitely kick it to guard at 6'6", 320. You have to see how he weighs, how he moves, all those things. That's what I want. I want somebody that could be an offensive tackle that could play left guard, and then whenever Trent does decide to ride off into the sunset, you kick him out to left tackle. But like that left guard spot, Connor Colby right now is your projected starter. Okay, let's pause. Talk to me about Connor Colby. One, his like 15 trash snaps at the end of the Seahawks game looked pretty damn good at right guard. First off, he got some crazy movement. I know it was against backups, game was over, whatever else. What's your confidence level on Connor Colby moving into his sophomore year as a projected starter on the current roster? I know it's incomplete, still have free agency, still have draft, but right now, that dude's starting at left guard.
Yeah, I think Connor Colby was more mental than physical as far as the hangups that he had this season. You know, it was picking up stunts and being able to play together with the other offensive guys, offensive linemen. I think that was a bigger struggle for him than the physical part of the game. I think he's just thinking too much out there. Right now, the game's moving really fast for him. I think that he'll be better, but I don't think the 49ers can rest on the fact that they've got Connor Colby. I think that they need to bring in somebody that is a better option than Connor Colby. If you told me Connor Colby's our backup offensive guard next year on the interior, I'd feel pretty comfortable. I don't know if I like Connor Colby as a projected starter. I think that they need to go address this because I think they need to get better, like I said, with more movement up front. Connor Colby will create movement. I just worry about him when it comes to some of the lateral quickness and things like that compared to some of the guys who are going to be available. You brought up Austin Barber. That dude's got, you know, enough ability to move back and forth. Lateral quickness is there. He could be the swing tackle day one if you're looking for a guy like that with his ability to play right and left tackle. He was one of the guys that actually got to break down because he was at the Senior Bowl as we're getting into my process. So he's good. And, you know, in a mid-round pick, he would be there. I think there's some guys early on at pick 27 that are absolutely studs. And I'm trying to learn how to say the guy from Arizona State's name. It's Max Iahator or something like that. No idea. Trying to learn it. But that dude is a monster. He's going to be a fast riser in this draft process.
One of my favorite slash least favorite things every year is whenever I dig through pronunciation guides from all these different schools on how to say their names, because one, I don't speak English very well. I speak Texan. And so like, it's just, you know, I struggle with names anyway. It was hard whenever I was a teacher and I would practice and I, you know, try to figure it out. And so, yeah, there's a different part of my brain that is about to get used that doesn't get used often, and it's going to hurt. That's all I want to say. I do have to highlight a couple of these wonderful comments. NY Niners, the man, he says, Jake Brendel will be our center until morale improves. I do agree with that. Dale, I feel like Jake Brendel is punishment for something I did 30 years ago. You are not the only one that feels this way. You are not the only one that feels this way. And Aaron, is it possible that Dominique Pooney could eventually slide to center? Oh, you're going to get me excited talking like this. Aunt, tell me it's not possible so that I can just move on with my life and not dream of something that, again, things the 49ers won't do, but we wish they would.
Yeah, I can't tell you it's not possible because I thought that it made a lot of sense when he was drafted. That was one of the things I talked about was his versatility, and I think a lot of teams seen him as a potential center. I don't think that they'll move him over. I think that if they did, it would make a lot of sense as long as he's got it upstairs, which I think he does. I think Dominic Pooney's extremely intelligent. I think right now he's just their right guard, and I don't think they're planning on moving off Jake Brendel this season. But I do think that we're coming to the end of Jake Brendel. I think that they've got to make a plan at some point to bring somebody in. I think that there are options available, you know, in the draft that they could potentially draft a guy of the future and maybe have them play 1 year behind Jake Brendel. I just don't see them starting a rookie at center this season. But I think everyone's anticipating that change at some point. Jake Brendel's getting older. He's almost 35 years old. And they've got to, you know, look at making a change there. You saw the body start breaking down a little bit this season. He missed some games, which he normally doesn't do. He's usually an Iron Man. So I think it's getting there. But I think that it's probably not going to be Dominic Pooney, even though Dominic Pooney would make a great center in the NFL. And it'll probably be somebody, hopefully, that they draft this season that steps in, takes over Matt Hennessy's role as a backup center, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, look at this. Jake B, I think Jake Brendel's in the chat. He says, end of Jake Brendel. Shoot, they're going to extend his contract this offseason. It's his last year, no guaranteed money, 33 years old. Like, I am worried of this. And I'd love to see people get paid. Like, I want Jake Brendel to get paid. I'd prefer it to be somewhere else. I am scared that they will do this, that they will extend him and add a year onto his deal. It is not what I want. And again, I hate going back to this, and I've said it like four times. You watch that Seattle playoff game, that dude ruined four drives by himself offensively. It was literally blocked Trent Williams one play, literally tackled Brian Robinson on another play. I don't know, man. Jake Brendel, I think, had one of his better years. But nah, bro. I expect him to start this year and stay with the team, but what percentage would you give that they extend him this year, this offseason? Ooh.
You know, I wasn't even considering it until you said that. I wasn't thinking that was a possibility because of his age. I thought, you know what, you know, he's not Trent Williams. He's not a guy that's, you know, an all-timer. So I think that they've got to see the writing on the wall. He's just losing a little bit of a step. Like you said, he didn't play bad this year, actually. There were moments he played bad, but for the most part, he was pretty consistent. I'm going to go ahead and say I'm going to put the extension at like 20%. I don't think they do it. I think they let this thing kind of play out, and I don't think they want to financially invest in a center that's that old. I'm going to hope they're going to go with a little bit of a youth movement along the offensive line, younger and cheaper for the offensive line. I'm going to go with that. Let's hope I'm right. That.
Look at this. Jake B says, bad enough we have the same first name and first letter of our last name. Yeah, there we go. Anyway, last one. And the things the 49ers won't do, but we do wish that they would. Will they play a rookie wide receiver if drafted out of the first and second round? You look at Debo second round, all the first round wide receivers played. What are your thoughts here? I mean, you can't pay. Well, maybe you can, but pay to get an X in free agency and draft a wide receiver. Will we see a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round wide receiver actually get playing time, or will it be the Jordan Watkins just train continues?
I think only if it's a gadget guy, right? Somebody that does something unique for your football team that you can kind of get the ball in his hands at certain times. And, you know, a guy like Richie James, you know, you can run the occasional reverse, get a quick screen out to him, something like that. I think that there are players in this draft that kind of have that playmaking ability that catch the ball behind the line of scrimmage and make something happen. I think those guys have an opportunity, but I don't think a player drafted in round three and beyond really gets on the field for this football team, because I do think they have to invest in an X receiver. And if they get one in free agency, that means you've got your X, your Z, and then even your slot receiver figured out in those top three guys, DeMarcus Robinson, Ricky Pearsall, and whoever they get at X. So there's just not as many opportunities for one of those other guys to get on the field. And I think it also comes down to health. If that player can stay healthy through training camp and the preseason, they have a better chance to play than someone like Jordan Watkins, who got hurt and kind of put himself behind the eight ball. But I think people had bigger expectations for Jordan Watkins than I think the team did, because Jordan Watkins was coming out of Ole Miss. They didn't really have a great passing tree. He didn't run a lot of routes. There was a lot of learning that had to happen for him, and I don't think he ever caught up. I think that that's a realistic statement from Kyle Shanahan. There's things when it comes to injuries, you don't really know if you can believe him or not. But when it comes to, hey, he's got to catch those guys and pass him, I think that that was a legit thing. I don't think he ever caught those guys and passed him, because you look at the injuries at running back, and you had a running back that caught Isaac Rendo and passed him. So it does happen. There is depth movement. I just don't think that they were as high on Jordan Watkins' development as maybe some people on the outside were.
Man, watching that Ole Miss college tape just pissed me off. I mean, they literally take every playoff, every other playoff as a wide receiver. They run go, post, like stop routes, hitch, and that's it. Like, it's so difficult, man. And now with Lane Kiffin at LSU, I'm just like, golly, we're going to have to watch more of this crappy-ass offense. It's so hard to judge and evaluate talent. Now, you made a comment about younger and cheaper. So we've got a comment in our chat about, is that going to continue this offseason? Yes or no? We're going to get to that right after this. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush Road Trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. Shout out to Justin Sachs. He says, first time in years I've caught you live. Always listening on the pod. Keep up the great work. And to everybody that listens to the audio platform, we don't get as much interaction. Just know we love you. We are so thankful. And again, what I would recommend, you want to support the show, man, just turn on that automatic download. That helps us, helps 49ers cut back. Even if you don't get to listen to all of them, that's an easy way. It deletes after three episodes anyway. It helps with our numbers, our metrics. So, Justin, appreciate you. Glad you're here live. But for everybody that listens, just audio only. Man, you want to support, easy, free way. Leave, hit subscribe or follow. Automatic downloads on. It's huge for us. Helps us out. S1K Friday. Ant, do you guys think they will be on the younger, cheaper mindset this year? Or will they spend on some veteran players?
I think they're going to spend. I think they're going to go back to their old way where they kind of pick a couple of guys that they're going to invest in. I don't think they're going to be the top of the line. I don't think it's going to be a Javon Hargrave situation where they're paying top money at a position. But do I think that they get maybe a middle tier or upper middle tier for a couple of veterans? Yeah, I do. I think that they have to. They have to go X wide receiver. I don't think you can go into the draft and put all your eggs in, hey, we're going to draft an X receiver that's going to start this season. They need to go get a veteran. They need to go get somebody that can play. I think that's probably where they hit first. And then I wouldn't be shocked to see them go the defensive end route and pick up somebody that can help in the rotation, whether that's someone that starts ahead of Mikel Williams and Mikel Williams kind of comes in and rotates and then eventually rushes from the inside. I think on a one-year deal, something like that, that would make sense. So I do think that they're going to spend a little bit. I would love to see them spend a defensive tackle. That would probably be the position I would say X receiver, defensive tackle. One of those guys, a John Franklin Myers, somebody like that, that can generate pressure from the inside, I think would make a lot of sense for this football team. So I don't think it's going to be younger, cheaper at all positions, but expect younger, cheaper at places like safety and places like that where they're going to continue to try to develop young guys.
Yeah, I like that. And Logan, I don't know how Jed York can watch last season not be encouraged to spend more money this offseason. Yeah, we'll see. A sustainable success is what John Lynch wants, and that's what Kyle Shanahan wants. Not like so. I don't think this is a push the chips in or anything along those lines. So we'll see there. Jorn, my man, do you guys think they should have interviewed some younger outside DC candidates, even just to do some self scouting? Seems like a missed opportunity.
I mean, I think this is always one of the things about Kyle Shanahan that people don't love is he doesn't really have a broad net when he's going out there to find coaches. I do think that, you know, you could always talk to some young guys and try to see what they're about. But I also believe that Kyle likes to kind of keep it to the guys that he feels loyal to, whether that's guys outside the organization or inside the organization. You know, it was just a couple years ago that he interviewed Daniel Bullock for the defensive coordinator job. And so I think that he could always do that, have a wider net and interview some young guys and see where they're at. And maybe somebody has some unique perspective. But I think he was pretty set over the last 2 years of who he wanted. I think he targeted Robert Saleh the whole time. I think this year he was probably leaning into Raheem Morris more than anybody else. I think that's who he ultimately wanted the whole time. So these are guys he's comfortable with, that he's been in the trenches with. But yeah, would you like to see him take a look at some younger guys and just see where they're at with their mentality for further down the road? Yeah, I'd love to see that. But Kyle didn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, he wanted this guy. And Raheem Morris, he was getting interviews for head coaching spots. Like, Raheem Morris is a very likable guy. Everywhere he has been loved by players, by coaches, by, like, everywhere. Maybe not Atlanta because they didn't win the way that they wanted to. But a lot of that was general manager type stuff anyway. But Shanahan loyalty program's undefeated. That's all there is to it. And so Shanahan's going to stick with the guys he or his dad knows, period. Or Robert Saleh knows. Like, that Wilkes experiment, it kind of re-solidified, I want to work with people I want to work with. And it's like this at all levels. It's like this at all levels. High school level, everybody wants to coach with their buddies. It's just, it's what they want. And it's what Kyle wants. Stefan, thank you for the super chat. Is CJ Allen a consideration at number 27? So for those of you who don't know, CJ Allen is a linebacker from Georgia, 6'1", 236, 4'5", type speed guy, downhill thumper, struggles a little bit in coverage. Overall ranking is number 27, actually, on consensus mock drafts, kind of where he is. Off-ball linebacker, struggles in coverage. That doesn't scream to me, you know, first-round pick. But, yeah, he's 20 years old. He's played a lot of snaps in, you know, 2023, 2024, 2025. So he's played a lot. Haven't watched his tape a whole lot besides when they beat the shit out of Texas. But he's a damn good player. I'm not so sure I want to spend that on a number two linebacker. I'd much rather go get veteran depth there. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm not, like, very into the player. I haven't seen him very much. I haven't really watched a lot of his film, so I can't give perspective on that. But what I can give perspective on is position value in the first round. And I'm not sure the 49ers are going to invest in a linebacker in round one. I think that they've learned that they can get guys later, especially with the way that they draft and develop linebackers especially. So, I mean, I wanted them to do that last year. I thought that there was some really – what.
The NFL just announced 49ers versus Rams in Australia. That is just tweeted out from Ian Rappaport. Matt Maioka, the 49ers will face the Rams. Oh, we're going down under, baby. I thought it was going to be Mexico City. I was wrong. 49ers rush road trip will be there. Dude, I ain't missing. I've never been to Australia. Oh, man, I'm so freaking excited. It's going to take place in Melbourne at the Cricket Ground. The Rams will serve as the designated home team, which is hilarious because they're never the home team. There we go. What? And Matt Maioka said probably a good chance the 49ers could be headed to Mexico City later in the season, too. Two Ooh. International games? Uh-uh. Dude, what?
Yeah, wow. And Australia and then Mexico City. Mexico City is not really that different compared to time zones. But Australia, like, that's going to be pretty crazy. So that's big news. Possibly two international games, Rams giving up one home game, and obviously the 49ers maybe in Mexico City giving up a home game. It could be interesting.
That's December. Because I think that the Australia game is supposed to be early in the year. Man, that's going to be, dude, they're trying to take all my money and all my budget. I'm thinking about me right now, who gives a damn, right? Like, who cares? But, we will be there. The plan is for the fourth. Now, if there's a Mexico and Australia game, I don't know if I could swing both. My wife might divorce me. We're about to hit our 20th anniversary, so I gotta be careful. I'm gonna have to ask permission, but dude, I ain't never been to Melbourne. Are you kidding me? We've got so many Aussie listeners. I'm excited about that, man. I'm excited about that. All right, let's get back to some Niners. Oh man, I'm pumped. I am so pumped about this. Sticky, what's up, man? He says 49ers personalities, I haven't been called that before, keep saying we should trade for Max Crosby. Two first plus more. Parsons pretty clearly at least half a level ahead, was gotten for two late first rounders and an okay DT. I watched the Jay Glazer clip break the news, and they asked, what do you think that package would be? He said that Max Crosby will probably go for more than Micah Parsons, because, and a lot of it has to do with the contract. The contract that you're trading for, the Raiders already paid out a lot of that. So when you traded for Max, you gave up the draft content, and then you also paid premium. You don't have to pay premium salary cap. I think his salary cap numbers are all under $30 million, which is really, really good for an edge. So he is older. He's not as dynamic, but he's, you know, a true 3-4 down player. What are your thoughts just real quick on what that looks like? It doesn't seem to fit the way in which the Niners would do business, and the Raiders never trade to the 49ers.
Yeah, I think that that's the big part of it. They never trade, you know, to the 49ers. Now, would Tom Brady have something to do with that? I think he's getting a little bit more, you know, in the mix when it comes to the Raiders. But that's a lot to give up for any player. If you're going to give up, you know, 2 first-round picks and potentially some sort of a position player to get Max Crosby. You did bring up the financials. When you look at his salary, though, everything is very affordable. He's under team control till 2029. Like, all of those things are really good, and I think that that part of it makes sense. The question is, can John Lynch sign off on this and say, you know what, we're going to go big. We're going to give up these first-round picks because we think Max Crosby could put us over the top. I would say this, defensively, that dynamic of Crosby opposite of Nick Bosa, it would be very dynamic. Like, that would be scary for a lot of teams because Max doesn't miss games usually. He plays the run like a maniac. He never stops competing. The energy that he brings, all that, I love it. I just don't know if they can pay enough to get Max Crosby. I think there'll probably be a couple of teams around the league that have a little bit higher first-round picks that would be willing to do it.
Yeah, and again, the Raiders just do not. They do not. Shout-out to Tristan. Again, appreciate the super chat. 49ers play the Rams in Australia. I am the happiest guy. I'm pumped, dude. I ain't never been. And so I am super excited about that. I cannot freaking wait, man. I'm super excited. One, I hate the Rams. Two, I love Australia, even though I've never been there. I've always wanted to go. Yeah, I have no choice now. I have no choice. My arm is behind my back. I will be in Australia drinking some Fosters and just having a good time and just all the stereotypes that we're plugging them in. Gravy, he says, Chapman, where does one purchase that hat? I got this on the NFL official site, but they sold out the day I bought mine. So I would just happen to be scrolling the day it was on there. I bought it. They have not released more. So, good luck. Type in 49ers faithful hat. And that's the best I could say, but I know that they're out. And one of our last questions, our last question right here, Leon Sandcastle, love the name. Thoughts on Jerry Jeudy? Can have him for a fourth tops, 26-year-old, 2 years left, a relatively cheap contract. My thoughts on Jerry Jeudy, he is a soft football player, scared of contact, a pressure situation is not him, but elite separation, great route running. He could play the X. He is under contract, so you would have to trade for him. I'm not sure new coaches would be willing to let him go because that's such a devoid talent roster, but I'm not against it. I do not like his tape. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't think he's been as good a pro as I think a lot of people thought he was going to be, the elite route running that he showed in college. So I'm not all in on that. I think you brought up the physicality, and I think that's one of the big concerns is, can he be physical enough to make some of the catches over the middle of the field where he's going to get hit? And that's the thing with playing for Kyle Shanahan. You have to be tough. You have to have guys that are willing to go over the middle and take a shot. And I don't know if Jerry Jeudy's that guy. I think that he's got the ability to run some good routes. Financially, it makes a lot of sense. Draft compensation, it makes a lot of sense. But I think if you had to tell me, okay, for a fourth-round pick, I can have Jerry Jeudy or I can have Jordan Addison, give me Jordan Addison every single day. I think that he fits more what Kyle Shanahan wants to do, so I would go that direction. But you never know. When it comes to financials, that would make sense for the 49ers.
There we go. I like that. Let's see right here. We got one more super chat from Silent. Boston at 27 or Fields in the second. We're talking wide receivers. So you've got Boston. I think Fields, did Fields go back? I'm not sure.
No, he was at the Senior Bowl.
He was at the Senior Bowl. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big Boston fan. As I would take Boston personally there just because that dude is freaking huge, man. Like I don't know what else to say besides the fact that dude's just a beast. Yeah, 6'4", 209. We'll have to see how he tests. Probably going to be like 4'5" type guy, but the vertical stretch – I think is a big deal. You look at Malachi Fields, 6'4", 218, very similar builds, all that stuff. But I think Boston's a little bit of a priority if he is there. I don't like spending all this draft capital on wide receivers, but you've got to have an X. Ant and I both said biggest need on the team. If he is there, I think it would make some sense.
Yeah, I think, you know, Denzel Boston in round one would make sense. Malachi Fields in round two. And then Ted Hurst potentially in round three. All those guys, bigger body, X-style wide receivers. I like Malachi Fields a lot, so I'm going to go ahead and lean into him. I would love to take him in the second round. I think that would be a lot of potential, especially when you look at his film before he got to Notre Dame. If you look at the Notre Dame film, you're going to see a ton of verticals, a ton of things where he's just stretching the field and going down there. But if you look at some of the things he did at Virginia, he was a better route runner. He can definitely run all the routes that you need him to run. So I like Malachi Fields, but I like Boston. I like Ted Hurst. I think those are all three options for the 49ers for sure, especially, you know, in the day. I like day two wide receivers for the 49ers. I hope they go offensive line round one or some sort of an edge or defensive tackle that can make an impact in year one.
Yep. That's why you're smarter than me, and it's not even a competition. That's why I'm the second round pick. I'm probably fourth round pick, you're the first round pick. You're the lottery pick, if we will. Anyway, this has been fun. It's nice to, and it's off season now, so like I don't think we're gonna do every Thursday on here, but we'll let you guys know. We'll definitely be on about every other week together and all those things. I mean, you just can't get enough Ant. And if you need more Ant, go subscribe 49ers Cutback wherever you watch and or listen. It's the best. Ant, any takeaways before we head out of here, my friend?
No, it's gonna be a fun off season. I think it's gonna be interesting to see what happens. And you know, we're just a few weeks away from the combine, so that's going to be a lot of fun as well. Then we'll get to see these guys and get some numbers on them. And hey, free agency is just around the corner. The draft's around the corner. It's going to be a great offseason. Come check out John's content. Come check out my content. It's going to be a lot of fun. Lots of cool stuff. And remember, guys, John got the draft almost exactly right through the first few rounds.
I did all right. Killing it. I did okay.
Yeah,
I did okay.
Killing it.
We just got to work together, and they'll hire us, and we'll construct the worst team ever. We'll be known as the Arizona Cardinals. It's just what it is. But anyway, Ant, you're the best. Everybody else, you're awesome. And I hope to see you guys all in Australia. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.